the demands on ministers have changed significantly and they have increased.
You are listening to Our Urban Voices with Dr. Alphonse Javet, a podcast that presents Christian narratives through diverse voices that impact urban ministry. Here is your host.
Hello and welcome back to Our Urban Voices. I'm your host, Dr. Alphonse Javet. Today, we are joined by Dr. Chris Coppenole. He is the Director of Spiritual Life at Silver Bay YMCA, bringing 15 years of experience in higher education and pastoral ministry to his role. His expertise lies in spiritual formation and pastoral care, honed through work with students at Princeton University, Asbury Theological Seminary, and as a pastor in upstate New York. His emphasis is pastoral and clergy care. This is expressed through the pastoral respite program at Silver Bay YMCA, upstate New York, where spiritual life-centered staff welcome more than 1,000 pastors and their families each year. And I am one of those pastors. I've been recipient of this wonderful, wonderful ministries. And I thought it would be good for us to invite and hear from Dr. Coppenole. Thank you so much for joining us, Chris. I'm so happy that you are here with us. How are you this day?
I'm doing very well, Dr. Javet, and thank you very much for inviting me on the program. It's a pleasure to be talking with you again.
That's awesome. So before we get started, please tell us very briefly about your family. And here's the logic behind that. We want to make sure that our audience get to know you first before they hear about your ministry. And the point is basically we want to build a connection between you and your audience. So please share a little about your family.
Oh, sure. Thank you for that. Well, I'm married to the love of my life, novelist Krista Parrish. Some of your listeners may be familiar with her novels. She's a talented writer. And together we have two children. We live in upstate New York. Lots of people outside of New York, outside of New York State, may think that the entirety of New York State, from Buffalo to over towards New York City and up in the Albany area, is all New York City, but it's not. There's just many different facets to this beautiful state. And where we live in upstate New York is at the base of the Adirondack National Park. So if you can imagine high-peaked mountains, beautiful forest country, untouched lands, hundreds of pristine lakes. It's a wonderfully beautiful area in upstate New York. And that's pretty much a good thumbnail sketch of who I am. And hopefully that your listeners will connect with some piece of that.
Yeah, I have always enjoyed driving toward that direction. And especially when you go through those mountains, it's a beautiful reminder of God's design and his beauty. And it's a good reminder just talking to you. As I was talking and you painting the beautiful picture of the area, it just brought the memories for even from last year when I took my family there. So let's get to your current ministry context. So what first drew you to pastoral ministry and spiritual care? And how did that journey leads you to your current role at Silver Bay?
Oh, I'm glad you asked this question, Dr. Javet. I worked in Nashville, believe it or not, as a podcaster for a Christian program only back in those days. This would be the 90s. It was called a radio host. And together with some ministry partners, we created a weekly syndicated radio show called Soul to Soul. And I would interview the artists of the day, the contemporary Christian artist, Michael W. Smith and Mercy Me and Third Day and Amy Grant and those kinds of artists, and get them to talk about their personal journeys with faith. And that was my day job. And then in the evening, I was what we refer to as a high contributing volunteer at a large mega church in the South. And I absolutely loved that. I was involved in men's ministry. I was part of the deacon's ministry. I worked with singles, you name it, just any of those ministries that were essentially caring for people in the church. I'd always felt a calling to ministry in my life, even from childhood. I remember an aunt of mine telling me as a young child that I would one day be a pastor, and my real love was music. And so I thought, you don't know. I know I'm going to be a musician. But in fact, I would become a pastor. By the time I moved to New York, I'd already worked in a church for 10 years. I'd earned a seminary degree. I'd worked in Christian broadcasting, and I'd authored a number of books. And so Krista and I, my wife, we wanted to be involved in ministry. We thought the best thing for us to do would be to open our home to a weekly Bible study and a dinner. And so every Wednesday night for 5 years, we hosted dinner and a Bible study. It started with just two friends from Pakistan, who I dearly love and am still friends with today. And it grew from two people to 35 meeting in our living room, which is a lot of people balancing plates and drinks on their laps. But when we reached that number, we asked, is God doing something? And should we, turn this into more than a Bible study? Should it become a church plant, which the group voted we should? And then the church grew from 35 to 200 members in about 5 years. It was about that time that I felt the Lord was moving us, 10 years of pastoring, moving us to something else for personal reasons in our family. And so I put together a succession plan and brought in another pastor, and I accepted a position at Asbury Seminary, which is south of Lexington in Kentucky, to prepare graduate students for professional ministry. And that was such an incredible experience. I absolutely adored working at Asbury and training pastors and helping them with their spiritual formation as well as their professional development. I was starting to see a progression in how God was calling me to work with pastors in addition to my work as a pastor myself. And from Asbury, I got an opportunity to work with undergrad students in higher education in the Princeton University community. And it was about that time in the story that tragedy happened in my family's life. We lost my dad in 2000, which was a terrific loss for us because he was such a wonderful man. But we lost our three surviving parents in about 9 months' time. My mother passed away in June of that year. Krista's mother passed in August. None of this was expected. And then her father passed away the following April. And it was at that point we decided to stay in New York permanent, full time. That would be our residence. And God works through all the circumstances in our lives, I believe. And I believe that he had a plan for me to be here at Silver Bay, because once we made the decision to stay in New York, I saw that this position was available and I interviewed, and I'm so thankful to be here at Silver Bay, where we have this very unique ministry respite program, a team of full-time staff here in the Spiritual Life Center. We have numerous high contributing volunteers, wonderful, generous donors, and a leadership team at Silver Bay that absolutely supports the ministry respite program. And we welcome over 1,000 pastors, ministers, clergymen and women, chaplains, and their families here each year at no cost. It is an incredibly unique experience and opportunity for renewal and pastoral care.
Dr. Kobernol, it's amazing how God has taken you through so many different changes. And I think I'm just thinking about going from this popular cultural podcaster, even when podcast is not there, radio being that, and serving Jesus through that, to planting a church. What an amazing, amazing journey. And from there to becoming campus minister and watching the formation of future pastors to Princeton, to Silver Bay. In everything, it's just amazing how God been watching over you, leading you, guiding you, and providing the care for your soul that you need. And I love just the way God has moved you from one thing to another. And in each thing, your heart is so clear, so dedicated. And right there, you talk about Pakistan. So, of course, that's one of the reasons why God put us in contact. First, I came in contact because of that. So it's amazing that how God put all these things together. I'm so blessed that you are here. I'm so blessed that God allowed you to see the beauty of Christ, even in suffering and pain as you endure the loss of your family members. And I think that itself produces a certain level of perspective that usually is lost when it comes to care. And pastors also need that care too. Yes, we do on daily basis. We do ministry, and there are funerals, and there are, even as I'm talking to you right now, one of our members is about to have his bypass surgery. So I was just, I was waiting for you to come online. I was talking to his wife and reaching out to him. These kind of things are on daily basis. And then you have personal family tragedies too. So I think your program at Silver Bay is such a amazing, comforting, caring program. And I'm so glad that you are here to share that with others who are listening to this podcast. Hopefully, some of those pastors and missionaries will hear that and reach out to you. But let me get you to my next question. This is more about the importance of your ministry. So let me put it this way. Pastoral care and self-care has been a popular topic, both on this podcast, but also in recently published books. Why do you think pastoral care and self-care has been so important lately?
Well, I think it's based on the research that we're seeing. The research, which happens, you know, annually through groups like Barna Research or Lifeway Resources, is revealing the significance of ministry burnout. The most recent numbers, 2025, show that 40% of pastors are showing the risk of a high risk of burnout in their ministries, with as many as 70% of pastors reporting feeling distressed or burnt out at least once a month. Those are the most recent numbers from Barna 2025. And another reason that this topic has become so prescient right now in our day is because the demands on ministers have changed significantly and they have increased. I don't want to go too far back in time, but it's really significant for us to acknowledge the difference that the COVID pandemic made in the lives of ministers and in the churches, because they accelerated the challenges that come with pastoring. Many churches at that time saw their attendance drop significantly. Remember, we went through the whole mask thing, and then the services were online. But even when things came back to normal to some degree, a lot of those attendees who had stopped coming to church did not come back to church. And when the numbers of attendees go down in a church, some other corollary things take place. The number of volunteers, for example, become fewer than they were before. The financial strain in a church increases. Another Barna statistic shows that 9 out of 10 pastors say it is harder to pastor today than it was back before COVID. Another really important detail, and this is one that's insightful and that we hear at Silver Bay quite often. As you know, we offer different kinds of resources for pastors who come for respite. And one of the options for them is to have a one-on-one time with one of our trained staff for support. It's one of the resources that we offer. And time again, I will hear a pastor say that this cultural division and polarization that's going on, not only in the United States, but in lots of other countries around the world, is spilling into their churches. They're seeing this same cultural division and polarization in their churches that we're also seeing in our news feeds. And when there's conflict in the pews, and I'll define that in just a moment, it creates a unique pressure on pastors that many of us just weren't trained for. We're not used to this level of tension that exists in some churches, not in all churches, but in some churches. And it's one of the reasons why some pastors come to the point of even considering leaving the ministry because the tension is very high. It's an intense pressure. And if I'm speaking to a pastor right now, they may be in agreement with this, but even for other people who are listening because they care about their pastors and they care about their churches, imagine navigating these kinds of contentious issues in the sermons that you deliver. Do you address it? Because if you do, there will be people in the congregation who say, why do you bring that up in the church? We're just studying scripture and we're studying how to become better formed as believers. Or do you not address it? And then perhaps there's another portion of the congregants who will say, hey, there's so much going in our country. You've really got to address these issues from the pulpit. And so there's a tension there. And that tension is especially heightened when members perhaps leave the church over these kinds of issues. Or if there's criticism of the pastor, he's not enough invested in this, or he's overly invested in these issues. And in this kind of a situation, which again does not affect every church, but is present in many churches, this environment can impact a pastor's confidence. There's statistics right now that show that ministers are feeling like their ministry lives are less sustainable, and that's a bit of a dangerous sign. One of the bigger stories here has to do with, on this topic of ministry fatigue, is how many pastors say they're struggling to remain in their roles as pastors while feeling quietly exhausted. There's burnout happening in other professions, but my area of knowledge is really pastors. That's where my heart is, my experience and my training, and the situations of ministry burnout and fatigue are high enough that I'm glad there are also, you know, practical examples of how we can address the ministry burnout and understand better the pressures that ministers are under.
You know, this is interesting because I was about to ask you, what are the pressures that pastors and ministry leaders face today? And you address, you already got into that conversation with me. Are there unique stresses they encounter on top of the things that you have just mentioned? And I'm thinking about, even as we were talking earlier, tragedy in the family, because pastors are also human. They also, yes, they are guiding other people from the Word of God, how to have that comfort and peace of Christ and endure during those crises. But at the same time, they do have families too. They also have, all sorts of other, health issues, high blood pressure, cholesterol. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was early on, when I got into ministry, the first class I took, even in my Bible college, on counseling, and the president of my college, he was teaching that class, and he said that the at least then, in those days, it's decades ago, and he said the biggest killer of pastor is a heart attack, and it's usually because of the stress they take. I want to just go back and explore this whole pressures and stresses a little more, and want to ask you, what kind of care should they be aware of?
It's an excellent question, Dr. Javed. Pastoring has always been a really unique profession. There's nothing else that's quite like it. And one of the factors affecting ministers is there's an increased loneliness and isolation, first of all, that comes with the position. Many pastors feel profoundly alone. They feel like there isn't anyone who can share the burdens of ministry with. They may not necessarily want to take that home to their spouse and share it there. They might feel under-supported by their congregation or their denominations. And 70% say that they lack close friends or confidants with whom they can confide. Also, the workload is significant. It's not uncommon for a pastor to work 55, 65, 75 hours a week. It's a diverse job. There's preaching, which takes its own kind of discipline of study and preparation to have that message ready for a Sunday morning. There's counseling with members of the congregation or premarital counseling for a couple that's wanting to be married. As you mentioned, there are memorial services, funerals that are conducted, weddings as well. There's an administrative side to this position and boards that the pastor will serve on. And then there's always there's often a crisis that's going on, which might have to do with a congregant's health or a child or an accident or something, a conflict in the church. And so all these things are going on, and pastors can feel like they are on call 24/7 to respond, because after all, they feel and they are the spiritual authority in a way for that church. So when you mix together the exhaustion and the loneliness, and even sometimes a sense of perpetual failure, for example, if the attendance goes down, there's some pastors who we feel that we take that personally. It must be us. It must be our message. Or if there's criticism in the church, pastor, you don't do enough of this. Pastor, you do too much of that. Those kinds of things can cut at us in a way that's really very damaging. You asked, you know, what kind of care should ministers be aware of? You know, we're all used to a kind of a model of rest that kind of, it goes like this. You know, you work at day, then you go home at night and you rest, and then you get ready to come back the following day, you know, fresh and ready to go. With ministers and other high-caring occupations, ministers carry something called residual stress. It's the stress from yesterday and the week before and something before that. We carry bits of that stress into the work we're doing today. It's not like we're beginning each workday with a blank slate. Or if we want to use a pastor in Hawaii named Wayne Cordero, his image of a full fuel tank. It's not as though we're starting each day as ministers with a full fuel tank ready to go, because this residual stress is carried into each day and it has a cumulative effect. It compounds so that a pastor is not showing up ready to go. They're showing up with a smaller fuel tank, not a 100% full, but maybe a 70% full, if you follow the metaphor, or it's 50% or lower. And that's why here at Silver Bay, what the Spiritual Life Center, what I would recommend is that ministers plan a regular respite break, a planned and scheduled retreat into their yearly calendar. We, of course, will welcome pastors who are on the point of depletion, and not all are, but I'm addressing those who are feeling a sense of ministry fatigue that's profound. We welcome pastors like that all the time, but you don't have to wait to that point. Pastors can come at any point and make this a part of their regular care for themselves. I'll wrap this up here, but this isn't necessarily a kind of self-care that is taught in seminaries, but we're finding at Silver Bay that planning and scheduling respite breaks are incredibly beneficial to clergy mental health, their spiritual health, and their productivity. So if someone's looking for a very practical reason to take a respite break, if it's sounding to your ears like just some sort of fancy name for another vacation, that's not what this is. It's a very practical way of getting yourself on your feet and becoming better at the job that you do. If I could say one more thing. When we're in a state of high stress, which is what we're talking about in this conversation, our brains go into fight or flight mode. And our brains become survival focused. when you have so much to do on your to-do list and certain pressures are present in your circumstances, then our brains hunker down and just get through what we need to do to accomplish our role as a pastor. And we're not accessing the creativity the way we need to be fully effective in our ministry vocation. That's the place we need to be. And what a planned respite does is gives us a scheduled opportunity to recharge and get ourselves back to healthy pasturing.
Wow. Wow. There are so many points while you were talking to myself, I'm looking into those things like, okay, man, this is true. And for longevity, I think the idea of making a practice, putting that on your priority list and making that as your regular practice where you take pause throughout the year and do your soul care, self-care type of thing. I'm very pleased that you are on this podcast. Thank you so much for being on the show again. That was Dr. Chris Coppernol, and thank you to all our listeners. We truly could not do this without you. And we will be back with Dr. Coppernol next time. So if you learned something, have a topic suggestion, or would like to leave us feedback, drop us a note at OurUrbanVoices.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show and leave an honest review wherever you listen to your podcasts. So we got to stop here because we are out of time. We'll come back next time to continue this conversation.
You've been listening to Our Urban Voices with Dr. Alphonse Javed, which presents Christian narratives through diverse voices that impact urban ministry.